You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter Joe Fusaro. Today on the podcast, we will finish off our positional rankings. We'll go through the outfield of the Marlins and break that down. But before that, some news as far as the team goes this week. David Sampson speaking earlier in the week as the team reports to spring training about some different things. A lot of it financial as well, Joe, when you talk about ballpark naming rights and updating a TV deal. Obviously, these are things that go towards being able to spend more on a roster and be competitive. It sounds like the big plan is to have a new name for the ballpark in place, at least by the All-Star break. Is that what you understand?
Yeah, that's what David Sampson, team president, said at FanFest the other day. And, you know, keep in mind, this is year six at Marlins Park, and they were kind of hopeful back in 2012 when the park opened that they would have a naming rights deal. That never came about. The All-Star game, of course, is at Marlins Park in July, and they're hopeful, you know, that something could be done. I thought what David said was interesting because he kind of shed a little light on the subject, saying that there were three different possibilities, and they kind of want to get the deal right because it's a long-term type of deal. And as noted, you get naming rights, that's additional revenue that goes towards payroll and all the things that make teams as competitive as possible.
And then the TV deal is interesting because we've seen so many teams around Major League Baseball sign new deals for the TV rights, big, big money deals that have really been able to kind of jolt their spending. And right now, the deal the Marlins have down in South Florida is not that kind of deal, but it's also not up really soon. So how is the team approaching that?
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, they have the lowest revenue of any of the 30 teams in terms of their TV deal with Fox Sports Florida. That contract expires in 2020, but they're hopeful that something could happen by the 18 season. Now, why this is important, I think we noted it a couple of months ago. Giancarlo Stanton, I think, is making $14.5 million this year. His salary goes to $25 million next year, and it goes from there between 25 and 30 or whatever it is. And not only just Giancarlo, there's a lot of salaries that are going to escalate, you know, in 18 and beyond. So this is a big year for the Marlins on a lot of ways for this core. And, you know, without a more competitive TV deal, I don't see any way they're going to be able to retain a good number of pieces on this roster. And as you know, that would make it more difficult to add pieces if their roster is short as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if a deal happens sometime this year, but there is no timeline. There's no drop-dead date. You know, we saw the CBA get done at a deadline. That isn't exactly the case with the Marlins and their quest for a TV deal. You know, with the deadline technically is 2 or 3 years from now. And, you know, they're hopeful that, you know, they want to be good partners with Fox Sports Florida and that they recognize the importance of, you know, doing something to make the team a little more competitive and take it to the, you know, the next level.
There were also reports over the weekend that there was a handshake deal to actually sell the Marlins. Now, a handshake deal, whatever that means when it's just coming through rumors and speculation. I guess I just want your thoughts, Joe. Is that something that we could see, or do you think it's just that speculation and it's a report that shouldn't get too much traction?
I don't dismiss it. You know, there's smoke, there's fire, right? And we're in a very lucrative industry in Major League Baseball. And Tim, I've been hearing, and I think most of the people around the team, you kind of hear some speculation for about a year now that, oh, after the All-Star game, Jeffrey could be open to sell. So I wasn't exactly surprised to see these reports. You know, now we're apparently getting names, you know, of possibilities. That should be interesting. But I wouldn't be shocked either way. I mean, again, you know, like I said, this is a lucrative industry. Jeffrey Lurie is 76 years old, and the time might be getting close to right for him to at least weigh that option. But, you know, the team isn't really saying anything publicly other than you do get approached from time to time. Actually, David Sampson said about 12 times a year or once a month, you know, literally somebody might, you know, approach them about, hey, are you interested in selling? because people want to get into this industry. But, you know, this is going to be a Jeffrey Loria decision. Jeffrey hasn't spoken on the topic. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if at least, you know, some people are kind of lining up and maybe some preliminary or more type of talks have already occurred.
Obviously, these are huge money deals that take a lot of time to iron out for sure. And just because there's that speculation doesn't mean there's anything happening anytime soon. All right, so to get away from the business of baseball and onto the on-field action of baseball, let's focus in a little bit on this Marlins outfield because, hey, it's an exciting one when you look at it all the way across the board. You get a start in right field with Giancarlo Stanton. You mentioned it, the money's going to jump here in a couple of years, but here's a guy who, I mean, how much of this team's success in 2017 is squarely on the shoulders of Giancarlo Stanton?
Oh, Tim, without question, a lot. I mean, this guy has the richest contract in sports history, and he has immense talent, immense potential. The sport, our sport has not seen anything like him in terms of, you know, the impact he does when he hits a baseball, yet he's been hurt. And, you know, he comes off a year that wasn't quite frankly very good. And, you know, they need him. You know, they signed him to that extension thinking they were getting an MVP caliber player. It's certainly all there. Giancarlo's has been as frustrated as anybody over that, you know, he hasn't had the full season. You know, even in abbreviated seasons, he hits 27, 28 home runs playing a half a year or so. And it just makes you wonder, what will he do when he's on the field consistently? And, you know, he's, you know, without question, the biggest, you know, X factor this team has. He's got to become the Giancarlo that they're hoping. And, you know, he's a great person. He's, you know, he works very hard. He's a guy I think the industry wants to see be really good because he's one of the faces of the game when he's playing at a high level. So, yeah, clearly, you know, this guy made the commitment to remain in Miami, and it'd be a shame to see him not, you know, live out that contract and have to leave, primarily because, you know, he's not producing at the numbers that justify the dollars.
And as you work your way around the outfield, obviously so much pressure on Stanton. Then you have Christian Yelich, who really came into his own a year ago, and he's the guy that's, I guess you could say, on the doorstep of being kind of a superstar type player that maybe doesn't get that appreciation around the league, but I know he does get it in Florida.
Tim, he's the best player on this team. He's the best baseball player. Stanton is the most impactful and the guy who could basically turn the game upside down. But Christian Yelich not only is the best player in the Marlins, he's kind of scratching the surface on being one of the better players in the National League. And, yeah, you know, the power was the last thing to come. 21 homers, 98 RBIs last year. He just turned 25 in December, and he's already been a 300 hitter. He's already been a Silver Slugger winner. He's already won a Gold Glove. And this might be the year he also adds All-Star to that. So an exciting player, a guy that, you know, is kind of still unheralded. Baseball people know who he is. Those who follow the data know who he is. His on-base percentage has always been ridiculous. And he would be a really interesting guy to be, you know, up there with Stanton as one of the faces of the game as well. And he has the temperament, the personality to be that. And he's an exciting guy to watch, no matter how good or bad this team's doing. You can kind of bank on Christian Yelich being right there and being a reason why you're watching that game that night.
And then Ozuna's an interesting guy, Joe, when you look at the last few seasons. 2014, when he was just 23 years old, kind of broke onto the scene. He hit the 23 homers. He drove in 85. And then 2015, kind of a dip. He, you know, he missed a little bit of time in that season. But then last year, he was an all-star at 25 and right back at it. And at times, he looked dominant. At other times, he wasn't quite there. So what does 2017 hold for Marcell Ozuna?
Yeah, he's one of those really interesting guys. Is he a 30-homer guy, or is he a guy that's going to be between 15, 20 and kind of disappoint you? He was a starter in the All-Star game last year based on an incredible first half, and he carried this team in the first half in many ways. He hit over 300. He hit, you know, I think, what, 16, 17 home runs. Second half, though, Tim, on base under 300, batting average low 200s, and the power number's not there. So, you know, who is he? Is he as good as he was the first half, as bad as he was the second half? I can tell you this. He's an energetic type player. He's exciting. He has a ton of raw power. And he's one of those guys who just smiles every minute he's on the field. And he loves playing baseball. And you just, he's a guy you easily, you know, people cheer for. His teammates love him. And it's also a big year for him because he's now in arbitration. So, you know, his dollars are going to go up. And, you know, this guy, is he a long-term contract extension type of guy? Or is he a guy that, hey, they may need to look to leave, to move on after this year if it doesn't exactly go the way they hope? But, you know, the trio overall, them, Marlins feel it's as good as any. I mean, what the Mets had three guys, if you count, you know, Bruce's Cincinnati numbers, they had three guys with 30 homers or more last year. The Marlins had three guys with 20, and I know Citi Field's not the easiest home run park, but Marlins Park is tougher than that. And, you know, power doesn't come easily, and if these guys were all 25 to 30 or more, they got a pretty good, outfield. And they all play pretty good defense as well.
I was going to say, when you add in the defense, it's clearly, I think, a better outfield than they have with the New York Mets, and it's tough to find. If those guys are what they could be, if Ozuna is his first half self and if Stanton's healthy all year, hard to pick a better outfield in all of baseball. Boston is probably up there in the discussion, but certainly a great outfield. And when those guys aren't in, you have Ichiro back again for more. And it's going to be an interesting year, I think, Joe, because last year was all about the numbers for Ichiro. I know not in his mind, but as far as fans go, watching him kind of chase down history, all that pressure's kind of off now. Do you expect to see maybe a different Ichiro? Could he be more laid back this year?
Ichiro was a great story last year, without question. At 42 years old, to get that 3,000 hit, to hit at 300 or right around, you know, for most of the year, and just to kind of prove to people he wasn't completely done. Key with Ichiro now, he's 43. How much more? And you just love him for the game. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer. He clearly likes being part of the Marlins. Don Mattingly's challenge is to find that proper balance where Ichiro is playing but not overplaying, maybe two starts a week. You know, a guy has to miss a couple of days because he's a little nicked up. But you have to monitor that playing time with him because he just simply can't, you know, go out there 5, 6, 7 days, you know, for very long and produce. And that's when you see kind of the wear and tear, or the age, I should say. Still, when he topped 500 stolen bases last year, he got to that figure, to 3,000 hits. I think he really was trying to prove something. Now it'll be about just proving that he still can be a productive big leaguer. And, you know, obviously every time he hits a milestone, I'll be reporting a lot about it, and it's fun to watch. And it's, you know, Ichiro has always been to me one of those reminders of why you love baseball. You know, yep. This guy is an international icon, and, you know, and he's loved in Miami, obviously loved throughout the industry and the game, and clearly back in Japan. So you just don't want to ever see that come to the end. And you just, I think early on in spring training, we'll kind of get to see how he looks. You know he'll come in shape, and you know he will give it all he's got. Just at some point, though, when is all he's got to finally the end?
And hopefully we don't see that drastic decline on the field. Hopefully he continues to be a productive player as long as he's playing the game, because he's been so great. All right, well, if the Marlins are going to be great in 2017, we know that outfield will be a big part of it. Thanks, Joe. Great stuff as always. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Fusaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.